Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Pacifica National Board's Audit Committee meeting. It's Thursday, September 16th, 2010, and we thank you very much for tuning in, and as usual, we always ask for your financial support. I'm Nia Bediako, the chair, and our secretary, Kamba Johnson, is on. Kamba, could you please call the roll? Leslie Radford is on mute, just so you know she doesn't answer quickly.
Who's on mute?
Leslie Radford.
Oh, okay. I will do so. Nia, I take it you're here.
Present.
Wesley, here. Okay. Bill Crozier, I take it you're here. Either somebody's impersonating you. Lisa Davis.
Yes, I'm here by force.
Okay, and Jane, I take it you're here.
I'm here.
Seth Goldberg. Okay. Matthew Hallinan. All right. Chandra Hopman. Okay. Get to the next page here. Oh, goodness. Melinda Ilyadon.
Ilyadon.
Ilyadon. Okay. You know, and I have it written here.
Okay.
And I didn't look at it.
Okay.
Campbell Johnson's here. Dutch Merrick?
He said he couldn't be here. I talked to him.
Oh, okay. Leslie on mute?
I'm still here.
Okay. Joe Ansala? All right. Donna Warren?
Yeah, this is me.
Okay. Nia Turner?
Here.
Okay. And do we have any guests or other folks online, such as Tony or Arlene?
No.
Or LaVon?
No, I didn't hear from LaVon. Arlene's on vacation, and Tony will not be with us.
Okay. So it's just us chickens. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We have quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Okay. And everyone has his or her agenda. So for the public, I will read the agenda. It is first to call meeting to order. 2, roll call. 3, approve agenda for 10 minutes. 4, discuss retention and destruction policy, 60 minutes. Determine next committee meeting date, 5 minutes. 6, review action item, 10 minutes. And 7, adjourn by 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7:30 Pacific, 9:30 Central. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I would like to, should I make my comment now or after the motion?
Would you like to add something to the agenda?
Yes, I would like to add work plan, committee work plan to the agenda.
Pardon?
Committee work plan.
Where would you like that to be put and for how long?
15 minutes. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the beginning would be nice because it would help me understand better our discussion about the retention policy, but that's just me.
Okay.
I've been participating in these conversations and not quite understanding the context of what we're doing, so that would be helpful.
Okay. Is there...
Madam Chair, this is Donna Warren. I have a question.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this is Lisa for the staff.
Okay.
Hey, I'm sorry. This is Melinda Ilyadon. I was just finishing up some duties for local.
Okay. Okay, Melinda. Welcome, as usual.
I got a volunteer, so I'm cool.
Okay. Thanks so much, as usual, for joining. Well, let me just take one item at a time.
Madam Chair, this is Donna Warren. I did not get recognized.
You have to wait your turn. The next person is Lisa, and then you. I have a staff.
Okay, fine.
The Jane had an item that for 15 minutes to be the new number 4. Is there any objection to that?
What was the item again?
committee work plan. I asked to add 15 minutes to discuss the committee work plan.
Okay, and when you say that, are you referring to what it is we're supposed to be doing?
Yes.
Okay, no, I have no objection to that.
So 15 minutes for the new number four. So hearing no objection, that comes before the discuss retention and destruction policy.
Okay.
Lisa, you're next.
Yeah, I have two things for the agenda. I'm not sure if one of them kind of works sort of with what Jane, that's an incorrect, what she just said. But I would like to add to the agenda that we set up a schedule of tasks that's due for next year, and that we also talk about our accomplishments, that we write up something about that as well.
That would fit in. That would fit in with what I was
saying. Could I? Okay. I will allow people to speak. Where would you like that to go, Lisa, and for how many minutes? You think you would like for that to be part of the new number four?
Yeah, wouldn't that sort of work along with that somewhat? It seems to me like it kind of flows. And I'm sorry, what's the number four again? What's the new number four? I missed that.
Committee work plan.
Oh, committee work plan. That would be sort of like four. Okay.
I agree, Lisa. That's what I was thinking. That's the kind of things I was thinking of. Thanks.
Committee work.
Donna, you're next on the step. Lisa, are you done?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I just want to be a little more clear because we have committee work plan, and then we have you know, I have an important call coming in a moment, but I think that should be Madam Chair. I'm sorry. Can I grab this a moment? You can go to Donna Warren. I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Donna.
I pass.
Okay. So while we're waiting for Lisa, is there any other amendments to the agenda?
Did you want to approve any of the minutes?
Okay.
Did you get them, Nia?
Yeah, I got that after I sent out the agenda. So what number would you like that to be, Campbell? And for how many minutes?
I think that we could do that. Usually that's something that's done pretty early in the meeting.
Okay.
And perhaps that could be a number five, since they we've got a new number four.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this is Leslie.
Okay. Thanks, Leslie.
I'd like to suggest that we do something a little weird and put approvals and minutes at the end. I'd really like to finish up this document retention and disposal policy that we've got going. We've made some progress on that, and I think we could finish that today. If
okay,
we could
that's
close
fine.
Thank you, Campbell.
So are you suggesting to leave it where it is?
I'm suggesting we put it at the end of the agenda.
The
approval of minutes at the end.
Okay. So
it was going to be after the discussion of retention and destruction policy anyway, and just before the determination of the next committee meeting, the review of action items and adjournment.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
Is there any objection to that?
No.
Okay. Is Lisa back?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry. I probably missed.
Go ahead, Lisa.
So we're at. I just want to be clear about what four is, because we have committee work plan, and part of that could be that we set up a schedule of tasks that are due for next year, and then we also talk about accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Okay. So that would be for A and B.
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. And I don't think that should take an excessive amount of time.
Well, there's three items. We have 50 minutes. So we need to get to this document retention and destruction. What did you say they were again?
I'm
sorry.
This is Jane. Can I make a comment?
Jane, 1 second, please. Let me finish my sentence. Lisa.
Yes?
Could you tell me what the A is? Could you repeat that, please?
Okay, A would be scheduled for task due next year. And B would be a summary of the accomplishments for this year.
Okay. Okay, Jane, you're recognized.
A was already something that I had thought was part of what I was thinking about already, and B is an important part of that conversation, so I have no problem with that being I think that that's the kind of thing I was looking for. So I just think it's those comments and anybody else anything can add is going to be a good, I'm sorry, just carry on. I wanted to say that's the kind of things that I would find helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. So the new order is approve agenda, committee work plan, number 4, and 8, schedule of tasks for next year, 4B, accomplishments, okay, number 5 would be discuss retention and destruction policy. Number 5 would be approved minutes. Number 6, determine next committee meeting date. Number 7, review action items. And number 8, adjourn. Okay? Is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Okay. All righty, so hearing none. Okay, let's see. Okay, we have 15 minutes. Who would like to be... Bill, could you please be timekeeper for me?
Okay, sure.
Okay.
This is 15 minutes for the whole thing or just A?
For the whole thing.
Okay.
This is Jane.
Yes.
Actually, the item B that Lisa described, if you guys start with that, then it would lay the groundwork for what she described as A. In other words, if you go through what's been accomplished, it leads right into what needs to happen next.
Is that okay with the body? Okay, Lisa?
I have an objection to that.
Okay. So you've been on all the you've been at all the meetings. Would you like to start with exactly what we've accomplished?
You mean you want me to have to think? No, just joking. it's like 8:49 on the East Coast. Well, I know that we've done quite a bit of work with working with the audit report. I mean, with the auditor, one of the things that sort of had me thinking about this was, a little bit of the discussion about what the audit, what people were under the assumption that the audit committee was at one time, because it's really grown, especially within the last couple of years. And I know that we worked really closely with the auditor in terms of trying to do from our part what we could to make the audit go kind of smoothly. And then trying to look at some of the issues to make sure that it can go smooth, even more smooth, because there was, quite a few rough spots with that. And then we reviewed briefly the 1090 form, and I'm sorry, my memory for institutional stuff is so bad. What did I say? What did I call it?
You said 1090.
Oh, what?
It's 990.
Yeah, thank you. I know that we worked on
badly.
Right, I know that we worked on that, and we were going over, and this is what we're going to be talking about tonight, but trying to get a policy in terms of retention and destruction policy. We had started to work with that, and I'm sure there was much more but my memory is just, I'm overworked at this point.
Oops. Okay. Let's see.
Madam Chair?
Yes? Yes, Chandler?
Yes.
Would you like to add to the discussion?
Yes.
And I just filled, oh gosh. Go ahead. I'm just filling everything here. My eyes aren't working tonight. Sorry. So go ahead. I'll go on mute. Sorry.
Okay. I was just going to mention I'd read Jane's email, and it seemed to me as though it was kind of raising the question if maybe the committee wasn't sort of expanding its territory of responsibility.
Hi. What are you doing still here?
Excuse me. I need to step away from the phone a moment, so I'll be right back. Sorry.
And what I was going to indicate is this, that a lot of our reporting requirements have really required the audit committee to expand its role and responsibilities. And this information, now I know that you have a good relationship with the Internet. If you were to Bing a nonprofit and audit committee, you could find a number of references, many, and I copied one out, and I can send that around from the American Society of Association Executives, which concerns nonprofits, and that goes into a lot about nonprofit audit committees and toolkit and whatnot like that, and so I can just send that around as an attachment.
Could you recap and tell us what it says?
Well,
the highlights?
It's rather detailed. I'll just go over some of the points, major responsibilities. And its primary functions assist the board in fulfilling its oversight responsibilities with respect to 1, the audit of the organization's books and records, 2, the system of internal controls that the organization has established. The committee should have a clear understanding with the outside auditors that they must maintain an open and transparent relationship with the committee, and that the ultimate accountability of the outside auditors is to the board and committee. The committee will make regular progress reports to the board. And it goes into other things, but there are a number of other responsibilities, such as those that came about as a result of Sarbanes-Oxley, and just a number of other things that would fit into specific duties that have been added. And when you have a letter to management regarding the audit and the findings, who is the what is the entity that ensures that these recommendations are acted upon? Well, that's what comes down to the audit committee. And, so it's these kinds of responsibilities. And I'll send around this particular piece. I mean, there are about 8 or 10 bullet points under each of these things. And they point out that it's not just as maybe some years ago had been the case, that the audit committee was just involved in securing the audit and letting the auditor or facilitating the audit. There's a lot more that occurs subsequent, which is what we've been undertaking, and I think in a very positive kind of fashion.
So let me ask the question then. Because I noticed
just a moment, Donna. I will take a stack. Okay, I know people are passionate about this, but as we've been doing all year, we've been working really, really great together, and we were doing well. Everything was orderly. We will take a stack on this, so we will just not speak out. Okay, so who I was in terms of accomplishments, I wanted the people that have been at the meetings, most meetings, to say what they think that their accomplishments are. So I heard from Lisa Campbell. Bill, would you like to add in anything in terms of our accomplishments?
I think Lisa got most of it. And But, you know, we're kind of an indirect thing, as Lisa was talking about, to make the audit go better. One reason for that, of course, is to save us money, because we spent a lot of money on the audit last year because of some of the problems getting the information. So, and we need to make sure. I guess the other thing is we reviewed the report from the auditor, the management letter, and the and our management's response, and I guess we need to continue following up on that.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I mean, we've been doing that. It's not finished yet.
I'd like to throw something in on that as well.
Okay.
It's Melinda.
Okay, Melinda, you've been to all the meetings. Go ahead, Melinda.
Okay. One thing I would like to see done, because I thought that it was entirely out of line that Tony Pearl had to put so much effort just to get the information we hired him to get. And I would like to see a lot more teeth put into his audit. In other words, you know, just send letters around and say, hey, guess what, folks? Your station belongs to the Pacifica Network. As such, you are obligated to comply because those books are property of Pacifica. So we need for you to be forthcoming, and we don't want to hear about that, you know, you not being able to give information. If you're not able to, explain to the executive director why. Because I really think that we need to quit playing patty cake. When you're talking about the foundation's budget, especially at a time, you know, when, let's face it, all nonprofits are having a rough time, this is a time for total sobriety, where you have to look at all the dollars and cents. You need black and white to know where you stand so you can make wise decisions. So that's where I stand.
Okay, Melinda, although you know that budget, that's not under our purview, but I heard you, Melinda.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome, dear. Wesley, you've been at all the meetings. Do you have anything that you want to say about what we've accomplished?
No. I'd like to see us accomplish getting all the records of the minutes of past meetings. I would really like to see that done here.
The minutes of the past meetings?
Right. Make sure that they're preserved.
Right. And that's part of the document retention district. But what do you think we have accomplished as a committee, since all of us have been working together?
No, I just I don't have any comment. I just really don't know what we've accomplished.
Okay.
Can I just throw one thing out?
Okay.
I missed that. I'll probably very
Melinda? Okay. I want to give Donna an opportunity to ask her question, Melinda. But you have an accomplishment at the committee? Something you've contributed to?
Just one quick thing.
Sure. Go ahead.
I think that I have been a member of national PMB committees, and this has been one of the most pleasant. I think that we have worked very well together. I think that we've managed to really put together a real...
You're cutting off.
I think that we've really done
You've got an echo.
That's not my phone. I don't know where that... But, yes, I...
Background.
Of all the PM committees I've worked on, this is
Brian, I think you need to fix the sound. Brian?
I think somebody has some background noise.
No.
Yeah.
And Melinda's phone's cutting out.
No, my phone's, it's just that sound's happening.
Right. So go ahead now, Melinda. Go ahead, Melinda.
Yes, I was just going to say that different committees, and this has been the best as far as working collaboratively.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Melinda. Okay, Donna, it's. You have a question, Donna?
Yeah,
Donna.
I did, because I'm not following so much that the audit committee is supposed to form policy. So I'm trying to figure out if we're really doing the things that are within the scope of our responsibility, or if we're trying to take on more. given Sarbanes-Oxley. Do they say that we're supposed to make policy? That's why I don't understand. When I read the minutes from the last meeting, it was just a whole lot of stuff that I don't think the audit committee is supposed to do. It looks like those are things that the finance department of Pacifica is supposed to address. I don't think we're supposed to farm policy. We may can comment on it, but... And I'm glad that the committee has been working well together. I really am. You know, and I don't mean to bring any strife into the committee, but I really don't want us to do what is outside our scope. And that was my comment.
Okay. I'd like to put myself on this track. Bill, how many minutes do we have left?
About three.
Okay. And Madam Chair, can I get on the staff again, if possible?
Yes, Lisa. I would like, I think we have accomplished a lot. Normally,
I'm sorry, I muted myself. Could I be on the stack too, please?
Yes. Normally, I know, when I first became chair, that this committee really was not meeting, you know, the prior chairs weren't meeting. So for the past 3 or 4 years, I think we've done very well this year, and we have continued that. The other thing is we approved the hiring of the auditor back in, we were in L.A. That was back in April. That's a record. That has never been done. And the reason the committee worked so hard to get that done was to make sure that we save the foundation money. As everybody knows, you know, that we're pretty broke. We are not bankrupt because we have over $500 million in assets, so we're certainly not bankrupt. But we're a little hard up for cash right now. So we save that expense of having the lawyer fly across country, having to fly across country 2 weeks from now to come to New York to just be approved, which is what used to happen. That did not happen. The 990 was improperly completed. The audit committee worked very hard to get that completed. It was amended, and it was refiled. The entire organization is pretty short-staffed, especially the national office. When we first came up with this idea, LaVar and Grace were both pretty appreciative because they don't have enough staff. The budgets aren't ready. The foundation, right, as I said, they just need a little help. So as a director and a fellow director member of this committee, Joe Gonzalez, had raised in Berkeley about the foundation having a document retention and destruction policy. And I said, well, you know, that the committee was going to be working on that in August 6th because that was his meeting, the only one meeting that he missed. So, those are things that we have accomplished. I cannot see us as an audit committee. If we can help out with the document retention and retention policy, are we saying that we should not help when the ED and the CFO have welcomed what we're doing? I think most people here would say yes, that we should help. We've also gone through the management letter with the executive director and the, executive director, and we went through the items. And as a matter of fact, out of that came the training in Berkeley for all directors, Bill and Camber, remind me, what's the training called again?
COSO.
COSO training. That came out of this audit committee. Chandra Hauptman was very, very instrumental in getting information, trying to get free training for us. She did a lot of legwork on that. So I think we have accomplished a lot on this committee.
Madam Chair?
Yes. I think time has
time's up.
I think the time has expired. So I know who else wanted to speak.
Me and then Campbell.
Campbell.
Okay.
Chair, this is Jane.
Could I just finish my sentence, please? Could I just get a motion to allow the two people who are on the staff just to speak? Would that be okay? Because normally, you know, we're usually fine. We don't like to cut anybody off or anything like that. Is there...
So
okay with everybody.
Okay, but
my point of order had to do with that.
Okay. So is there unanimous consent in allowing them to speak? Okay, hearing no objection. Okay. Who's first? Campbell or...
I think I was first. Campbell.
I just had a point of order.
Oh, I thought that was your point of order.
No.
I apologize, Jane. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to make a note that the second part of what Lisa suggested, the task, what we need to accomplish, I would love to hear the same kind of conversation around that, but obviously the shortness of time. I just want to say that any brief comments that the additional people can add in that line, I'm making notes because this is helping me, but I just wanted to say I hope that we can pick up that item, that other item, the task, in our next meeting because this is very helpful.
I just wanted to just say a couple of things real quickly because also there was stuff that the audit committee did previously that was not necessarily this year, but I still think is very important. And in a certain way it was, and I know we worked on the policies and procedures manual, which the PNB asked us to work on. This was a couple of years back, and that was to help to establish a uniform reporting system. And it wasn't just the audit committee, but we also worked with the finance committee, and that's always that's like a living, breathing document. It's always a work in progress, and I do know that because we've worked very well with Tony Paul, and I do know that he was laying out, you know, some things that he was even saying that the audit committee needs to work with, and to make sure that certain things, you know, happen. And it's not like we implement policy because anything that we suggest, it has to be approved by the PNB. So we could say, we think, well, this should be, and we could only make a motion and then present it to the PNB. So it's never about us setting policy. Everything we do is under the direction of the PNB. And what I was also going to suggest, I think maybe we should... We should forward some of the things that we did so we could have this in writing, and that could even help us with formulating, you know, the schedule of tasks for next year, because we could maybe present some of the suggestions or something in writing, and that would help us move the meeting along to get into the other stuff. That's it.
Okay.
Campbell?
Yeah.
Campbell, you're next.
Thank you. The... thing that I was going to mention is that as opposed to a feeling that the audit committee is making any policy, as much as Lisa described, what we are doing is to facilitate and communicate things to the PNB, both from the audit committee, both from the auditor, as well as in terms of our regulatory requirements. And I think these are very important. I think that in COSO, we had a critical training, and hopefully at some point we will have approval of financial statements by the PNB at each meeting. This is something that every board that I'm on does, but it doesn't happen here. We just get a narrative, and I think it's essential that there is an approval, and this is part of our fiduciary responsibilities as individual directors and certainly as a body. We should be engaged in that. So perhaps it would come at some point from the committee as a recommendation to the PNB that once the financial statement is presented, that it would be periodically approved. Thank you.
Okie dokie. Okay, so I'm sure time has expired for that. Thanks.
Yeah, we're about 21 minutes altogether on this.
Okay. Thanks very much, Bill. Okie dokie. So we'll move on to the meat of what we're supposed to be doing tonight, and that's our discussion on the document retention and destruction policy. So everyone has that up. I updated it. I filled in what I could. Does everybody have that?
That's
I sent that out at
Are you by your computer, Melinda? Melinda?
Yes.
You by your computer?
Yes.
Would you like to do a little reading?
Okay, you bet. I take. You sent me? I'm going to read what you sent me?
Yeah. The first thing, let's read the preface first, which is the one that I sent at 6:17.
Okay.
Sarbanes-Oxley Read Nonprofit for those people who are on the call for the first time and for the people that are listening as to why this is necessary. You have it? It says document destruction.
I sure do.
Some of Sarbanes-Oxley provisions. Okay. Can you please read it for me, Melinda?
I can do that.
Okay.
Summary of Sarbanes-Oxley provision.
Yeah.
Oxley Act addresses destruction of litigated documents. Law makes it a crime to alter, cover up, falsify, or destroy or personal persuade someone else to do it. It's used in a proceeding, e.g., investigation or bankruptcy proceedings. Act turns automatic document process that must be monitored, verified, and fully administered. Relevance to nonprofit organizations. Sense dictates that individuals, organizations, and directly tread or otherwise I'm wondering if people are going to understand.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing.
I know.
Somebody has a TV on in the background or something.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, it's a perfect echo. It's an echo. When she says something, it comes back to us about
Jane, would you like to continue reading?
I can.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes, Lisa?
Only for the people listening, because when she was reading it, there would be some words would be dropped, and I don't know if people will ever try to get a record. So maybe you want to just start the thing again?
Yeah, I was going to suggest that. Melinda, Melinda. Okay, Melinda, they can't hear all of your lovely voice. But
I wish somebody would.
Yeah. Melinda? Do you want to hang up and call back in? Why don't you hang up and call back in?
Okay, well, it's not on my end. I have my TV going.
Okay.
Sorry, but you keep dropping.
Yeah, just try hanging up.
It's your voice actually is coming back in a different, it's like an echo chamber. It's very strange.
Okay. Wesley, are you by your computer?
Yeah.
Wesley?
Madam Chair, point of information, this is from the email that you sent out at what time now?
It came out at, I'll tell you.
Hello?
Mine is dated 8:21, the time for today, 8:21.
Oh, this is that one. Okay.
Hello? Leah's back. I'm sorry, I got dropped. Okay. Melinda and I are twins. We went off together. I was asking if Wesley was there. Is Wesley there?
Yes, I'm there.
Yeah. Are you by your computer, Wesley? Would you like to read? Wesley? I can't hear you, Wesley.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here. Submitted to my current email address. This is being sent to an old address from way back, so I haven't even gotten it up yet.
Okay. Whatever email address you gave to Otis and John, that's what we've been using all along. Nothing's changed since
right.
you're on the call last in the Google Groups. Nobody has changed anything. So you need to update your address with Otis and John.
I get their notices. I just don't get anything because everything is being sent to an old Yahoo account, and I have a Gmail account. They contact me in my Gmail account. So
okay.
I don't think it's up to them, but maybe.
Okay.
I'll talk to Otis.
Would you like me to start reading it?
Okay. 1 second, Campbell. Just one second. Is Donna on the call? Would Donna like to read?
I'm on the phone, but no, please.
Okay. Let's see. Nia? Are you there, Nia? Nia? I think Nia was on mute. Okay. Okay, Campbell. Go ahead.
Okay. Document destruction, summary of Sarbanes-Oxley provision. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act addresses destruction of litigation-related documents. The law makes it a crime to alter, cover up, falsify, or destroy any document, or persuade someone else to do it, to prevent its use in an official proceeding, e.g., federal investigation or bankruptcy proceedings. The Act turns automatic document destruction into a process that must be monitored, justified, and carefully administered. Relevance to nonprofit organizations. That's the next heading.
Hi.
Common sense.
Hello?
Common sense dictates that individuals, nonprofit organizations, and companies regularly need to shred or otherwise dispose of unnecessary and outdated documents and files. Like their for-profit counterparts, nonprofit organizations need to maintain appropriate records about their operations. For example, financial records, significant contracts, real estate, and other major transactions, employment files, and fundraising obligations should be archived according to the guidelines established by the organization. Because of current technology, electronic files and voicemail can become complicated as we understand the irrelevance of the delete button in a computer as a permanent method of file removal. Anyone, do you want someone else to pick up at that point, or should I continue?
I heard a female voice trying to say something. Who was that?
Nia Turner came online.
Okay, Nia.
Okay, I'll leave the second part. I'm sorry, I accidentally cut us off. Recommendations. A nonprofit organization should have a written mandatory document retention and periodic destruction policy. Oops, I'm reading this off the computer. Such a policy also helps limit accidental or innocent destruction. The document retention policy should include guidelines for handling electronic files and voicemail. Electronic documents and voicemail messages have the same status as paper files in litigation-related cases. The policy should also cover backup procedures, archiving of documents, and regular checkups of the reliability of the system. If an official investigation is underway or even suspected, nonprofit management must stop any document purging in order to avoid criminal obstruction.
You can read the conclusion. Go ahead. Read the conclusion.
The Sarbanes-Oxley Act has now been in force for over 8 years. During these years of intense corporate governance scrutiny, the Act has also forced the nonprofit sector to analyze board practices and methods of operation. Individual organizations have begun to identify loopholes and figure out how to eliminate them. Watchdog agencies and other nonprofit field-building organizations are reconsidering assumptions and standard operating procedures in an effort to identify guidelines, standards, and best practices in the sector. Regardless of whether this critical self-analysis is prompted by a set of potential laws ultimately governing the actions of nonprofit organizations, we have heard the wake-up call. For all of us in the sector, the Sarbanes-Oxley Act has caused a renewed realization that nonprofit organizations rely on and must protect the indispensable and unequivocal confidence and trust of our constituents. Self-regulation and proactive behavior will always prove more powerful than compulsory respect of laws.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, everybody who's read. Okay. Bill, I forgot to ask you to keep time.
Yeah, we've been going for 9 minutes.
For 9 minutes? Okay. Now, everyone has a spreadsheet. This, we had gone over this before. I just I think it was Lisa who asked about adding the where they should be stored and the location. So I did that. I added I think Campbell raised in the management plans and procedures part about the strategic plans. I added that. I added the org chart that I had suggested myself, and there were some things that Ricardo said that we made references to. I sent that out to you also. I sent that to the Google groups. So why don't we go through? Is Melinda back?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes. Go ahead, Lisa.
You mentioned something about, you added something about the org chart?
Organization chart.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just trying to see.
Yeah. I put that in management plans. The second item. The item. I'm looking at my heart.
Yeah, okay. I see
it's in a large print. Okay.
Okay.
So, Melinda, let's hear how you sound.
Was that the one you sent at 4:08 this afternoon?
That's the spreadsheet.
Okay, is that what you want?
Yes, please. It says draft document retention and destruction policy. You have that one?
Sure, you bet. Just a second. Okay, let's see. Just a second. Unfortunately, my computer's...
Are you fading out again?
No, I'm looking for the report.
Okay.
Okay, the below categories or documents must retain for the period included. The Sarbanes-Oxley...
one second, Melinda, scroll up a little bit. Start on the first paragraph. You have that?
You bet.
Where it says this policy came from?
Got it.
Okay.
This policy came from the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA. Right, and has been adapted for use within the Pacifica Foundation in accordance with information received with our legal counsel. It specifies which documents, hard copy, electronic, or other media, including those that may be litigation related, and protected, and when they may be destroyed. And then it goes into the below these are documents must be retained for the period noted. It's Oxley forbids the alteration, concealment, falsification, or destruction or the disclosure of another.
Melinda?
Some of her words are dropping.
Yeah.
Melinda? Okay, folks, just be patient with me. I like to be courteous to people.
I understand.
Melinda?
Yes.
Melinda?
Yes.
Melinda?
Yes.
Hello?
She's saying yes.
Yes. She's saying yes.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry. You were dropping, some of your words were being dropped again.
I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Do you mind if somebody else reads who is having that problem?
Right ahead.
Okay. Bill?
Okay, let me start with that second paragraph.
Yes, please.
Okay, this is document retention schedule. The below categories of documents must be retained for the period noted. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act forbids the alteration, concealment, falsification, or destruction of any document or the persuasion of another person to engage in such conduct in order to prevent its use in an official proceeding. For financial records, the relevant date will be the last day of the fiscal year in which the transaction occurred. At least one copy of each document shall be retained according to the following schedule.
Okay. You should do the corporate records and financial records, Bill, please.
Okay. Corporate records, articles of incorporation to apply for corporate status, period permanent level national parties, or so this is stored ED, and that means where it's stored.
Question, Chair? Chair, do you have a question?
Yes? Who's that, Jane? Someone, yes. We have never had this problem ever with this echoing like this. I don't know what's going on.
It's gotten to all of us, I think.
Go ahead, Jane.
Yeah, just for clarity, I see a column heading level, and I see a column heading location, N equals national, L equals. So does the word level mean the same thing as location?
Yes.
Okay. Shall I go on?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, and that previous one was N, meaning national, for the location. Next, IRS Form 1023 in the USA to file for tax-exempt status, tax-exempt and or charitable status, period permanent, level N, stored ED and CFO. Next, letter of determination, for example, from the IRS in the USA, granted tax-exempt and or charitable status, a period permanent, level N, stored ED and CFO. Bylaws, permanent, location NNL for national and local, stored ED and GM. Next is board policies, permanent, N for national, ED and CFO. Board resolutions, permanent, N, ED and CFO. Minutes and audio archives of board and committee meetings, parenthesis local and national, permanent, N, ED, and CFO. Sales tax exemption documents, permanent, NNL, national and local, ED, and CFO. Tax or employer identification number designation, permanent, N, ED, and CFO. Annual corporate filings, permanent, N, ED, and CFO.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
A quick comment, or do you want to wait until we go through all of them?
Let's do them one at a time. Is there any disagreement as to where these should be stored in this particular category?
Well, I had a question. Some of these things, yes. I'm not sure why in non-financial documents the ED needs, unless you just want to have some redundancy there.
Which one are you referring to, Bill?
Well, things like sales tax exemption documents and the tax or employer number identification, designation, things like that. Just wonder, if that's standard that the ED and CFO keep them both, then that's fine. But
I think, as in accounting, there's always dual control that, you know, someone should ask, for example, if there's an audit and either one isn't around, then especially the ED, who is the main manager of the foundation, should have access to it. Like in accounting, it's good to have dual control. So that's why I suggested doing that. So, I mean, if the committee doesn't think so, then it's up to the body. This is democratic as usual. If you don't think it should, then we'll vote on it.
That's okay. I'm not objecting. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
I still have a question about the heading.
Yes, who's that?
I'm sorry, this is Jane. This is Jane.
Okay.
I have a question about the headings.
Go ahead.
The first column is clear, the period that it must be stored. The second and third columns, the second column, I think, refers to the location of where it's stored. And does the third column talk about who is responsible for maintaining it?
Well, and some of them, as you go, you'll see in for example, in whose offices they should be stored, right? So nationally, for example, let's see, the IRS form, right? The ED and the CFO, so this should be stored in their offices. That's
okay.
What that means.
So it's actually the location, Both the columns C and D both actually refer to the location.
That's correct. Because they're different departments,
and different responsibilities within the national office.
So, the sales tax exemption document shows an N and an L, meaning national and local, but it's stored by the ED and the CFO. But, so what is
GM
the local?
GM should be added there, I think.
Okay, yeah, okay. She's going to add the GM, okay. Is that okay with everybody?
So, and what line is that again we're talking about, Madam Chair?
19.
I'm looking at a hard copy.
19.
The
law
doesn't have the number.
It's
a sales tax exemption. Okay.
Okay. Madam Chair,
that was a good catch, Jane. Who was it, Campbell?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Campbell.
Okay. I had mentioned to Ricardo, and I think it's an important thing in regard to line 15 bylaws. When they are amended, it's important to have certification of the amendment. The only thing that is certified on the bylaws, all of the bylaws that I've seen, is that they were done in 2003. Nothing is stated about any amendments, and no one has certified those amendments. So this, I think, when we have bylaws down here, we perhaps may put in there parenthetically that including certification of all amendments.
Okay. Is there any objection to that?
No.
So bylaws, what?
Bylaws, parenthesis.
Including certification.
Including certification of all amendments.
Campbell?
Yes.
Could you please send that to me? I have it, including certification of all amendments. Okay.
Right.
All right. Can we move on to the next category now, please?
I have a question.
Yes.
Question.
Yeah.
And this is not necessarily an objection. I'm just trying to understand a little bit more. Under board policies, you have the ED and the CFO. I'm just curious as to why the CFO.
Well, they're both members of management. Again, it's for dual control.
Oh, okay.
And that's in accounting, I guess Campbell and Donna could tell you, dual control, you know, for those of you, you know, who aren't accounting majors, that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Neil?
Yes, Bill?
Yes, Bill. Yeah, I think Jane had a good point. Maybe we do need to clarify the column heading a little bit and have just delete the word level from column C, and then under stored, maybe put responsibility or something like that, or storage responsibility. Is that what we're saying?
My copy, I just changed it to say the level, N equals national, L equals local, and then the final column is the storage location, because that's what you guys just said. It should be in the ED's office. It should be in the CFO's hands or whatever.
Okay. So you're saying level.
Yeah, level.
In B, and then location in C. Okay.
I think that's
okay
what you
everybody?
Just told me, and it makes
mm-hmm.
seems to be consistent with what I see here.
Okay.
So level in C and location in
I can't hear you, Lisa.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just repeating. So instead of parties, we're going to have location. Is that it for the heading?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. Is there anything else in that section? Okay. Financial records. Jane, would you like to do financial records?
Okay. I see the first four items. Chart of accounts, fiscal policies and procedures, audits, and financial statements are all permanent. They're all national and local. And the locations would be the CFO and the GM and business and the general managers and business managers.
Right.
The next item, general ledger. It's also permanent. It's a national and local. And this one is the CFO and business manager. I think everything under financial records is both national and local, so I won't repeat that. The next seven items are 7 years for the retention policy. These are check registers, books, business expenses, documents, bank deposit slips, canceled checks, invoices, investment records, including deposits, earnings, and withdrawals, and property/asset inventories. So all of those for 7 years, national and local, and they are primarily CFO and business manager, except for the last two. The investment records also fall to the general manager. And property/asset inventories also falls to the ED in addition to the GM, CFO, and business manager. And then the last two items under fiscal records, financial records, are three-year retention period, and these are petty cash receipts documents and credit card receipts. Both 3 years, and they're the CFO and business manager.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Kendall?
Yes. I was thinking that there are some of these things that I think maybe a copy should be held not just by the business manager but also general manager, and there so that if one person's out of the office or something like that, you don't have everybody holding their breath. And the credit card receipt situation, the petty cash receipts, would that be creating entirely too much paperwork, or would there be the access if the business manager is out and someone else needs to, have access to these things? Will the person be able to have that access?
Well, let's see. I have observed the audit, and that's the way they have it. So what are you recommending, Shambhavati?
Well, the thing I'm thinking about is this, and this is, I guess, unique to Pacifica, but in WPFW, you don't have a great redundancy in staffing, and I would suspect that when the business manager is out of the office, his drawers and cabinets are locked. Now, I would expect that the GM would have a key to those, and maybe that's just, that would satisfy any situation. But I'm just concerned that, if in a smaller office situation that, we may end up with people being like the indispensable person.
What are you suggesting, Campbell?
Maybe it's an alternative suggestion. I'm not suggesting that we create a whole bunch of paperwork, but I think that the access to these records should be stored by the business manager, that the general manager should have access. So maybe it's having a second set of keys on that,
So the CFO, isn't that the second set of keys?
Yeah. The general manager to have a second set of keys. I mean, having to chase down the CFO for something like that,
okay,
I think would be, somewhat problematic. But put an asterisk, beside the caption of financial records to indicate that, a second set of keys should be available to the or held by the general manager in case of the absence of the business manager.
Okay. Is everybody in agreement with that?
I have a question. This is Jane.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Jane.
I'd like the auditors to weigh in on this. I know that some things, I think, there's probably, I like the idea of what Campbell is saying, that we should try to be as clear and precise as possible about who has access to what. But I also know that in certain cases, it's a good idea not to have the general manager have access to certain things. And so I like the intent, but I'm not sure what we should really do about it. I'd like to get some additional input on that.
Well, actually, the auditor is on the Google group that this was sent to, and he didn't voice any objection to any of this.
No, but Campbell's talking about introducing something new.
Okay.
Yes, we ask Tony and see what he recommends, because there may be reasons one way or the other for these.
Okay.
But, I mean, Campbell has a good point. I think the GM should have access, I would think, to all financial records, unless there's some reason why that's not a good idea.
But, see, maybe we could put that as, like, something at the end instead of identifying specifics, say, you know, the general manager should, except as otherwise noted, access to the financial records should be available to the general manager and whoever else. Maybe it would be better as a sweeping statement, except what otherwise noted.
I don't like the whoever else. I like
that's
no, I'm sorry. That was apparent.
Yeah.
We need to fill in the blank.
Okay, right.
Madam Chair, let me clear about that.
Apologies.
Campbell?
Yes.
Campbell, I wanted to send to Campbell, 1 second, please. I just write down your question. I will shoot it off to Tony Pohl, and we'll get I'll get an answer back. He usually responds very quickly, just so we could move on to the next item. Is it something really different that you're going to add to this?